Samuel 6. Second Samuel 6 from verse 1 until verse 15. You'll bear with me, it's much longer, but I'll try to read it as speedily as possible. It says, again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baalah of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Jabi, and Azza and Ahio and the sons of Abinadab drave the new cart. They brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Jabi, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fair wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. When they came to Nachon's threshing floor, Azza put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Azza, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Azza, and he called the name of the Lord Perez Azza to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David. But David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that bare the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed the oxen and fedlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting, and with the sound of the trumpet. Hallelujah. As we bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we've read the scripture. You have been invited to be part of this service. And before we begin, dear God, forgive us of our trespasses. We are humanity, and as humans, we are not immune from mistakes. That is why Paul of the old said, we repent or we die daily. And this morning we have made it to the house of the Lord so that you can come and mold us in the manner that you would want to mold us. And Lord, we just want to commit every man and woman in the building to you. May you be gracious to them. And Lord, may you lift us up higher into your realm of revelation. And when we live here, there is one man that must be a disappointed man, that is the David. He hates us, he has never loved us. But you loved us and died for us. And this morning we are taking sides with Jesus. And we are not ashamed on the side on which we find ourselves in. We know we chose this before the foundation of the world. And Lord, when we took sides with Michael, I commit every believer here this morning, those that are sick and afflicted, may you heal them completely in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I commit the service to you. Amen. As you take your seats. Amen. Now, how many believe that we worship an unusual God? Brother Branham says, but sometimes we find God in those odd, unusual hours, in unusual ways, unusual things, because God is unusual. And those that really serve Him from their heart serve Him in an unusual way to the things or the ways of the world. Hallelujah. That means those that serve Him, they really break the pattern from the worldly pattern, and they serve Him in a very unusual way or in an odd way. This morning I want to speak about the threshing floor. Hallelujah. The threshing floor. That's what I want to speak about. In the olden days, they used to have what they call the threshing floor, which was a flat surface. And this is the way they used to separate the grain from the chaff. Hallelujah. And they had a way of doing it. They would bring the grain there, and sometimes they would make animals to go, or they would make animals to tow a sledge, and they would be on the sledge, and it will go around the threshing floor. And when it goes over the grain, the pressure was separating the grain from the chaff. Are we together? And that's what I want to speak about, and looking at the significance of the threshing floor. But before I get to there, just to give you a background of our text, David had been chosen as a king. And for 20 years, the ark was not in the midst of the Israelites. It was in the midst of the Philistines. But while it was in the midst of the Philistines, it was like a hot potato. Hallelujah. They put it before Dagon. It made Dagon to fall. And until they had to move it from city to city to city, until later they decided that now it's much better that if it could be taken to the house of Abinadab. Hallelujah. When it was taken there, that is where it settled. But in Israel, for quite a number of years, for 20 years plus, the ark was not in their midst. But it was during the time when Saul was there. Saul, when he was there, Saul was never worried about the presence of God amongst the people. Paul was worried about his position. Hallelujah. And I had much better say, even we have seen amongst the denominations, people worry more about positions than presence. But in the bride, we worry about presence over positions. Hallelujah. If you really find a man that is obsessed with position without being obsessed with presence, you know that you've got a recipe for disaster. Hallelujah. And I'd much better put it across. God uses nobodies. Hallelujah. God uses nobodies. Hallelujah. That's why when he spoke to David, he says, David, I found you as a shepherd boy, and I made you to be a king over my nation. So I'd much better put it across. If you want to get somewhere with God, God is looking for people that can come to the altar and say, Lord, I'm nothing. Lord, there is nothing good about me. Such people, they become an instrument that God uses for His kingdom. So that means for 20 years, and I don't know how Saul was able to lead a nation without the presence of God. For 20 years, he was not worried. He was just maneuvering around his positions, not being very particular or not even paying any attention that the presence of God had left the Israelites. Hallelujah. But when David, there are certain attributes that made David to be a man after God's own heart. David was a special kind of a man. How many agree with that? David, let's be disconnected and be connected to one source. Hallelujah. David was a man after God's own heart. And there are certain attributes that made David to be a man after God's own heart. David really put God first in everything that he did. He put God in songs. He was praising the Almighty God. He wrote poetry about God. That's why we've got Book of Psalms. David, his mind was on the Almighty God. And it made me wonder, why would David want to put God first? It's because when David remember where God took him from and where God put him, he realized that God really loved him. Hallelujah. And a lot of times, what we often are guilty of, we lack the appreciation of the Almighty God because many of us, we forget where God took us from. Hallelujah. We were not born as believers. We were born as sinners. Hallelujah. We were born as sinners. Everyone in this building was a sinner at some point in time. But by the grace of God, there is the blood that was shed on Calvary. And that blood shall never lose its power. Are we together, folks? And as long as we serve him, we need to continue appreciating him. Now, when David got into the role as a king, the very first thing that he wanted to do was to restore worship. He put worship on national agenda. Hallelujah. This was, as we often say, a new broom. Hallelujah. The first thing he said, things are not properly here. We've got to put things properly. We've got to make sure that his presence comes back and his presence is with us. Because you remember when the Israelites were following, going to the promised land, they came to a point where they said, unless your presence go with us, there is no way and use for us to go forward. And I say the bride must get to a point where they say, unless your presence go with us, then there is no need for us to move forward. Amen. Folks, I had much better put it across to you. As you navigate life, you must keep on asking yourself, is God's presence with me? Yes. Hallelujah. You remember Mary left the temple and went home. And along the way, he thought Jesus was with them, only to realize that Jesus was left way behind. Yes. Hallelujah. When you take steps, just sometimes pause and say, where is the Lord in this thing? Are we together? Now, David, the very first thing that he did was to put the worship on national agenda. And said, the first thing we've got to, where is the ark? We've got to go and look for the ark because the ark was the token of God's presence among his people. The ark was actually what today we would call the restored word of the hour. Hallelujah. And if I had to type it, I would say, when David came into the role of a king, he realized that Israel had slipped into denominationalism, where they were interested in organization, hallelujah, without really paying attention to his presence. And the first thing that he did, he said, listen, I am going to restore worship and put it back on national agenda. Where is the ark of the Lord? We need to go and look for the ark of the Lord. It must be returned back to Israel. It does not belong to the Philistines. Hallelujah. This can you see why this man was a man after God's own heart? This man was of a special DNA. Hallelujah. And I'd much better say, when things go wrong, believer, the first thing that you've got to check is that, where is the presence of the Lord? Where is the word of the Lord in my life? Hallelujah. A real believer puts the worship on his on the agenda. We still together. Now he gathered 30,000 men and said, men, we need to go and look for the ark of the Lord. 30,000 men came together. The new king had spoken, had gathered them together, and they went out to look for the ark. And the Bible says, and David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of the God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, that dwelleth between the cherubims. And when they had gone out there to look for the ark, and I believe David was kind of a leader that led from the front. He did not send them, but he went before them. Amen. Hallelujah. And when he got there, we realized that when the ark was amongst the Philistines, the mode of transportation that was used to move it from one place to the next, they used to put it on a cart. But bear in mind, that was not God's provided way. Hallelujah. The ark, how it was supposed to be transported, it was that there were staves that used to be put into the rings by the side of the ark. And those staves, the Levites used to put them on their shoulders. And the Levites were the people that were supposed to carry the ark. The ark was not supposed to be manhandled. The ark was supposed to be handled by a specific group of people, by people that had set themselves aside for a service. The word of God is not every Tom, Dick, and Harry that can handle the word of God. The word of God must be handled by people that are living a holy life. Amen. Are you here, folks? Amen. Amen. Now, they moved it from place to place. It's quite amazing that when David wanted to bring the ark back, him being a Jew who should have known better, he looked at the same method that the Philistines had used to transport the ark. He as well thought that God would use the same way. Hallelujah. I can imagine he got a new cart. And a cart was there in its position, shiny, and said, this is the new cart that will go and fetch the ark. But where did David see that from? He saw that from the Philistines. And I'm saying, folks, there is nothing of the world that God is going to use in his church. Amen. Are you here this morning? Yes. There is nothing that God needs from the world that he can use to advance this message. Amen. We do not need new cards. We need God's provided way of doing things. It's a time-tested method. It worked all the time. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? Now they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought out of the house of Abinadab that was in Geba, and Asa and Ahio and the sons of Abinadab drove the new cart. And as they were coming, God allowed them to travel several miles. Several miles they came with the ark on the new cart. Let me say this something. When you do something that is not according to God's way, even though when it prospers, it does not change the fact that it is not authorized by God. Amen. Are you here, church? Amen. You are going to do certain things that are not in the way of God. But as you do them, it may seem that you are prospering. God may allow until you say, maybe this prosperity confirms that it is God's will. God has never changed his mind about his way at any point in time. Hallelujah. And a lot of times, even though many people can jump on the bandwagon and say, listen, this thing is working, it does not make it right in any way. God will never abandon his way because God, he is his own way. Hallelujah. Now, as they were coming, God allowed them to travel several miles. And this was on the new cart. Hallelujah. Which was not God's provided way. And as they were coming there, And folks, I had much better dwell on this element of new cards. We are beginning to see new cards coming into the message. Hallelujah. We are beginning to see things that Brother Branham never spoke about, but they are coming into the message. And I had much better say, folks, and even us, and especially you young people, you had much better listen to me here. It will only take God's word to bring a genuine new birth in your life. Hallelujah. And as much as I've spoken about young people, people are beginning to say, in order for us to attract young people, maybe we've got to have an entertainment of some sort. Let me tell you something. God is not going to save young people by entertainment. Amen. God is going to save young people by his own word. Amen. Are you here this morning? Amen. And I'd much better put it across, maybe to put even musicians under the spotlight this morning. The rock and roll must not come into the church. God is not going to save the church by rock and roll. God is going to save his church by the message that he provided in the end time. What am I saying? I'm saying the church must never partner after the world. The church must reject everything that resembles worldliness. Are you here this morning? I hope we are together here this morning. And a new card must be rejected. I saw, the reason I'm saying that is because I saw somewhere where they had invited some gentlemen, and it's a big denomination that had invited quite a stars, and they said they must come and entertain their young people, and their young people were coming there, and this quite a stars were there, and they were busy hollering, Jesus, Jesus. And the young people were saying, Jesus, Jesus is not every Jesus stuff is Jesus. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Some stuff disguises itself as Jesus, but behind that is none other than the devil himself. Yeah. And now I want you to wake up from your spiritual slumber here. We are about to go home at any time. Yeah. We need eyes that are vigilant. We need believers that are discerning. Because we are about to go home. And the church must be a separated woman. Brother Bram says she will be an independent woman. Are you here? There are many new cards, many new doctrines that are coming into the message. Because people think that what Brother Branham provided was not enough. People are beginning to be bored with the spoken word. They've read the spoken word, they know it from cover to cover, and they are done with the spoken word. They say, we have been through this. What is the new book that we can discover that can bring illumination amongst the people? Let me tell you something. This church will reject any other new cut. Are you here, folks? I was just fellowshipping with somebody that says, the people are tired of saying, Brother Branham says, Brother Branham says. Let me tell you something. I'll never get tired of that. Yeah. Israelites were never tired of what Moses said. They kept on saying, Moses said, Moses said. And in the end time, I had much better say, Brother Branham said, Brother Branham said, Brother Branham said. And that is what we are going to say, folks. Look at Noah, folks. For 120 years, he was preaching the same sermon. The flood is coming. The first year, a decade went past. The flood is coming. The second decade came and went by. The flood is coming. The third decade came by. The flood is coming. I guess some people must have said the pastor has run out of the message. Because it was during a scientific age. It was a time where people could analyze, and their analysis led to paralysis. But Noah was there and said, the flood is coming. 100 years later, the flood is coming. 110 years later, the flood is coming. Until God confirmed his way. And I say, as long as we have never raptured, we will say, William Marion Branham said. William Marion Branham said. We are not ashamed of our messenger. We are not ashamed of our prophet. We are not ashamed of our message. Our message is a real deal. And we will never replace our message. Are you here, church? God is not going to save the church by psychology. A psychologist needs a psychologist in the end time. It's a mess out there. We are living during a neurotic age. But right where the mess is, there is a man sent from God with an authentic message. Are you here, sisters? Can I hear your sisters say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We are not going to change any dressing. We don't need new cuts on dressing. We need the one that is tested by the messenger. Are we together? We are not going to follow the world in any way. We are not of this world. We are just passing through. We are strangers and pilgrims here. We are seeking a city to come. I'm not from Witbank. I'm not from South Africa. I am from heaven. And heaven shall I go back to. And my influence does not come from my environment. It comes from the heavenly environment. And we are not going to go into secret deals with the devil. You know, when you go into a secret deal with somebody, they can blackmail you. And say, if you don't do 1, 2, 3. That's why they call it a state capture. People did things secretly with stotis. And every time they want to do something, they say, we'll tell the people. Hallelujah. As long as Brother Branham preached this message, as long as we are here, the church shall never be captured. Amen. Are you here, folks? The church shall never be captured. Not by any spirit at any way. And I know what I'm talking about. There are people that are in the bright sheep, the bright boat, but they keep on looking in the Pentecostal boat and say, but things are fine there. Oh, goodness. Goodness. Things are fine. They are not fine there. Amen. New cuts. New cut. And the ark was on a new cut. And they were coming several miles, coming after the ark that was on the new cut. And as they were coming, God allowed them to travel several miles. But there was a threshing floor that the ark was coming to. A threshing floor, folks, it's a place of beating. It's where, hallelujah. A threshing floor is where the wheat is threshed. There's a beating that takes place, a hammering away of the wheat to separate it from the chaff. That is the place where the true church is to be birthed. As they were coming, and they were coming towards the threshing floor, it is a hard surface, as I indicated, where they would put grain there, and they begin to thresh grain to separate it from the chaff, or wheat from the chaff. They will hammer it. And from there, the process was that after the hammering, the grain will be separated from the chaff, and after the grain is separated from the chaff, they had a second step where they call it the winnowing. The winnowing is where they throw the grain into the air, and the wind will come because what is heavier will be a genuine material. What is lighter will be something that is not supposed to be accepted. So the wind will blow the useless stuff. And the grain will come and be put in the barney. We need the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. To blow into the church. And to separate nonsense from the real stuff. To separate the bride from denominationalism. To separate the right people from the wrong people. To separate the seed from the unelected. Are we together? And they would put it into the barney, and the chaff or the waste that came because of winnowing is the one that will be gathered together to be burnt by fire. Now when, stay with me here, David is a new king. His very first assignment, he puts on national agenda the restoration of worship. And he says, we need to restore worship. And as he puts it back on the national agenda, what we see about him is that as he is coming not according to God's provided way, he's doing the right thing in the wrong way. And stay with me here. In the message, the end does not justify the means. The means justify the end. Did you hear me? You can't do the right thing in the wrong way and say, I was doing the right thing. No, sir. That will be doing God's service without it being his will. Now, as they were coming, and they are coming towards the threshing floor, as they were coming there, somewhat the new cart stumbled. And while they were there, Asa was there, and he reached out with his hand to try to steady the ark. The man's motive were right. The man's act was right. But it was not by God's provided way. Hallelujah. You may do the right stuff with the right motive, but as long as it's not in the way, God will reject it. This God that we worship is a very jealousy God. And he's a very picky God. How you worship him, you've got to be diligent. Now, as he reached out with his hand to steady the ark, and he touched the ark, immediately God's anger was kindled against him. God smote him dead. And he died right there, and that displeased David. Folks, can you imagine? You are a new leader. You've got 30,000 men. You have given them the first assignment. And you say, we need to restore the ark back into the kingdom. But as you are there, bringing back the ark, your trusted man, Asa, dies. God strikes him dead. And a lot of people are looking there. Certain things you can attempt to them when you are an old leader. And you can fail at them. Hallelujah. People have been with you for quite some time. They can say, we know. Mistakes happen. But as a new leader, with no background, with no track record, these 30,000 people, what would have they thought of David? And David was displeased because here is a man, he's helping him, and they are going back, taking the ark back to the kingdom, and they are there, they are dedicated to the cause, but God strikes that man. Let me tell you something, folks, and I have seen it many a times as a minister of the gospel. We can love you as a pastor. We can appreciate what you do. But even though we appreciate you, when you step out of God's way, the love that the pastor has for you is not enough to cover you from God's wrath. Amen. What am I saying? You can be in good books with the pastor, but if you're not in good books with God, it is useless. Because the pastor does not have heaven. God has heaven. You'd rather be in my bad books, but be in God's good books. But a lot of times today, people want to be in the pastor's good books, not in God's books. Asa was in David's good books. Asa was dedicated to bring back the ark. But Asa was so committed to David that his commitment did not translate into God's commitment. And I had much better say something today. The danger part today is that people would want, or we as ministers, a lot of time, we want people to be committed to us. People to be loyal to us. I've got breaking news for you. We do not have heaven. We are struggling to go to heaven like everybody else. And there is one man that must be saved. That is the Almighty God. You had much better be in his good books. somebody is rejoicing now. He says, I'm in God's books, the Lamb's book of life. He wrote my name there before the foundation of the world. No matter what goes, he will never take my name out of that book. Don't struggle to be in people's good books. People change. Hey, folks, people change. People love you today. Tomorrow they don't love you. But there is one man. He loved me when I was unlovable. There is one man. He loved me when I was a sinner. There is one man. He loves me when I make mistakes. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. That one, he's with you for a long haul. He will never turn his back on you. Jesus is a truthful friend, folks. He's a reliable friend. Be in his good books. The church will fail. The ministries will fail. The pastors will fail. The nations will fail. But the word of God shall never fail. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word shall remain standing. And this morning I say, have confidence in the word of God. Asa, he reached out to steady the ark. Asa must have thought, the ark is long gone. The ark is coming back. He must have known the significance of the ark. And he did not want the ark to fall. He said, let me steady it. Sometimes, when you try to protect and fight for the message, you may bring reproach to the message. Did you hear me? I hope it sinks in. He started to try to steady the ark. And right there, God smote him dead. And David was displeased. David became angry. And say, what went wrong? What went wrong? I'm trying to do God's service, but look what he has done. And he sent those men away. Hallelujah. But where did this thing happen? At the threshing floor. Brothers and sisters, every one of us in this building will go through a threshing floor. There's coming a time where God will put you there. Because right there, there's a beating that must go on. And I'm not here to paint God as Father Christmas. God will test every man. God will test every woman that cometh to him. Oh, he may use the church to test you. He may use the church to test you. Some people think that the church is immune, is something great. The church can turn against you. And it can be the will of God that the church turns against you. Because he wants to check whether you are a worshiper based on your affiliation to the church, or are you a worshiper based on your affiliation, based on where you come from. And I've seen people surviving a lot of things, but few people survive when the church turns back their back on them. I'll not go to church, they did this and that. I'm done with worshiping God. And you think you are there justifying yourself. You're on your way to hell. God used the church to turn against you, to test your DNA. But there are men and women, even though the church can turn against them, they don't care. They are worshiping God. Not because of Lighthouse Tabernacle. They worship God because they are believers from eternity. They will say, Pastor Mariba, you may never love me, but I will not stop worshiping God. I still have a song that I must sing. I still have a scripture that I must read. I still have a quotation that I must leave. Those are real believers. And today, it's a separating time. Why are you here? Why are you here? No, they didn't greet me. They didn't check on me. They didn't. T
did you come here to be pet? Brother, how are you feeling? Is everything being done the way you like it? No, I'll not do anything. I'm not happy. I hope you don't do that in your marriage. I'll not cook because we are not happy. I'll not bath children because we are not happy. In marriage, even when we are unhappy, we wake up and say, is there bread in the kitchen? And you go out there to buy bread. If you're a kind of man that when you are angry, you stop doing your manly responsibility, you are half a man. I'm not buying grocery because my wife keeps me happy. No, I'm buying it because that's my responsibility. Even though she may be angry with her face swollen, I don't care. I must go and buy grocery because why? That's my job. That's what I've decided that I will do. And I do that unconditionally, whether I'm happy or unhappy. How much more when I worship the Almighty God, the God of Israel? I don't care whether I'm happy. I don't care whether I'm not happy. I will worship him anyhow. Can't say amen. I'm not happy. That's not that man's weight. That's your creator's weight. Folks, I've been disappointed by a lot of people, but I've never been disappointed to leave this message because I know on who's my attention, who's the central theme of my focus. That is the Almighty God. They come and go, but He remains. Yes, it's good to say amen. Even your husband or your wife, God can use your husband against you. She was lovely, full of life, making your tea, coffee. And some of you think when a man is separated from his wife, he is less spiritual. He could even be more spiritual than you buying McDonald's with your wife. Because you don't know what the conversation happened behind the scene between God and the devil. Maybe the devil said, oh, the wife that you have given to him, she's a support structure. And God says, you can attack the marriage. And all of a sudden, that lovely wife, she just wakes up one morning and says, I'm oppressed in this house. My rights are not respected. I could have been far in life had I not been married to you. I'm intelligent, but you delayed me. And you are there, your eyes are popping out. Say, actually, even this message is oppressing us women. Do you know we've got leadership? Do you know we can articulate better than men? I'm done. I'm no longer going to church. Go alone. Imagine if it happens to me as a pastor. I rock up here first Sunday, Sister Maddie is not here. Second Sunday, she's not here. And deacons start whispering. I've even seen the pastor's wife for quite some time. And I'm embarrassed. She's gone. And because she's gone, I'll no longer be a preacher. I'll no longer be a pastor. I'm disqualified. What happens then? Do I stop? If I'm not a real believer, either I will come here and say, my wife, listen, understands you, will change the church. Will start giving you guys chance. Yes, I know what I'm talking about. Or I will say, I'm no longer worshiping. I'm done with the message. And if I'm not a man of integrity, I may not say I've got problems in my marriage. I'll start saying, Brother Branham has got faults. What happened to the cloud? Was he there? Was he not there? That's not the problem. The problem is your marriage. Hallelujah. Because you want to get married to the new wife and you know Brother Branham is a stumbling block, then the first thing, you must attack the prophet. You are a liar. You are a liar. But if I'm a seed, I'll come to church and say, Church, I was with my lovely wife. You remember her. She sang for you. She was a great woman. She's done with the message. And because of her, I can no longer continue to be a pastor. Shall we come together and elect a new pastor while I worship God? And I leave the office. I come down. Another brother preaches. And I say, Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That shows that I'm a seed. And I say, God, help me. Let me never fall in love with a position. Let me fall in love with you. Because the position will come and the position will go. But you will be there all the time. I've got the message for the table. Even if our wives go, we will remain in church. Are there sisters here? Even if our husbands are called, there is a husband called Jesus. We will remain in his presence. We will sing for him. We will glorify him. He means so much for us. Oh, some husbands, they think, oh, this one is only in church because I'm in church. Leave, you'll see, she'll remain. And if you come and say, listen, you must choose between me and Jesus. And if you choose Jesus, I stop the maintenance. She will say, go to hell with your maintenance. I need Jesus. He means so much for me. Do I have those people in the building? Do I have that material in the building? That say, no matter what, we are sticking with Jesus. We are taking sides with Jesus. It may be unpopular, but that's the stance that we'll take. Asa was taken from David. And David was displeased. It broke his heart. And he took the ark. Took it to a lower church or a house nearby. Obed Edom. And the ark was in that house. And David went back, discouraged, defeated. And when he got back home, you see, when a woman is angry, you can see. Women are easy when, even if she's not your wife, one look can say, ah, today she's angry. First of all, the wife of this guy is really angry today. And we brothers, we even pray for you and say, hey. Yes. If a woman is angry, she's expressive. But when a man is angry, a man can take you to a restaurant and have dinner with you while he's angry with you. Can buy a grocery with you while angry with you. When a man is angry, it's a silent anger. The only time that you will know that he's angry is when things fall apart and he loses his temper. That's why they end up killing women, because that anger was there for long. And if we were to collect anger offering this morning, some of the buckets that the trustees have are not enough to fetch the anger that might be in the building. Men are angry. And they smile on the face, but inside they are angry. And David was angry. And when a man is angry, he goes quiet. I can imagine when he walked into the palace with shoulders dripping down, with long face. The first new assignment has gone wrong. When he comes there, he sits down. There must have been mind battles. Is this God loving or not loving? And he took his seat there. I think this one just came to my mind. You remember, Brother Chizine and I were sorting out another issue in the country. Now the brothers, instead of repenting, they went and took a video. You remember the community meeting that we had? They took the video. They were circulating it and say, Pastor Madiwe is the politician. Guess what? These things, they must be said. My intervention in this community made Eskom to keep the lights on. And I'm done with that. I'm back on my pulpit. I'm not a politician. Stay with me. What I did, the lights came back. They were circulating it throughout the week. On Thursday, in their town, the whole town burned down. The hospitals burned down. The churches burned down. The schools burned down. 77,000 people had to be evacuated because the whole town was burning. I said, in my town, when I intervened, the lights came on. In their town, when they refused to repent, God took out the lights. Oh yes, there is a spiritual meaning to that. There's a spiritual meaning to that. Because they are bringing a man, they say it's Abagas. And Abagas in the book of Acts prophesied that there shall be a famine. And it happened. And they are saying the man is Abagas. He is in town, the very same town. He failed to see the fire coming. God cannot be mocked. God cannot be mocked. We don't need new cards in the form of false prophets. They must be rejected. We have received a genuine prophet. His name is William Branham. That was just by the way. And David came into the house and he took a seat. Folks, in every leader's life, there are moments of self-doubt. No leader is immune from that. You do something, you wait and say, was it really the will of God? Or was it my will? How do you know whenever you want to do something, whether it is the will of the Lord? There must not be one scripture against it. It must be your burden that God puts on your burden. And furthermore, God, if he wants you to make it, he will provide the means for you to do it. That's what Brother Branham said to Brother Peregrine. And David went, took a seat, and began to think what went wrong. What went wrong? While he was there,
the report came and said the ark in the house of Obed-Edom. It's been there for 3 months, and that man's house is prospering. Whatever he does, it's prospering. Just for 3 months. I believe if that man had debts there, his debts were paid up. Everything just went fine. If his children were sick, they got healed. If he had marital problem, it was resolved. What happened? Because the ark was in the house of an unbeliever. But God was prospering that believer because of his presence in his house. And David went, began to search in the Torah, and read and realized, I made a mistake. It must not be the new cart. It must be the Levites that must bring the ark back. That's God's provided way. To you, it's common sense because you've got the whole Bible. Then maybe David had lost some of the Torah. He had to go and search and read in the Torah and realize that, no. Then he started making the sacrifice. There was the shedding of blood, preparing a way of worship. And after he did that, then he took the Levites. They went there to take the ark. And they put it on their shoulders. As they were putting on their shoulders, because now it was God's provided way, they began to move with that ark. There was no incident. And when David saw the ark returning, after 20 years plus of its absence in the nation, the Bible says David began to have a dance. He began to dance. And the way he was rejoicing, his wife, when she peeped through the window and saw David rejoicing, she got embarrassed and said, what manner of dancing is this? Some of us folks, when you see us dancing in church, some of us losing ourselves in church, you don't know where we have been. There is a story behind our praise. You don't know what the devil has dealt with us. He dealt us with us in a very harsh way. And when you see tears streaming down, hallelujah, my wife may not understand. There are certain wounds that I and I alone know those wounds. And when David began to rejoice, because the word was now being restored to its position, and he began to worship, and he was dancing with the fine linen, the ephod. It looked embarrassing for a king. He never cared about the chief captains. He never cared about the protocol. Let me tell you something, my brother, my sister. There are times when you come into church and the word goes forth and it hits your heart and you realize, I'm letting go of the protocol. I'm letting go of whatever who's around me. I know where he took me from. Hallelujah. There are certain songs that pull something out of you. There are certain sermons that pull something out of you. There are certain scriptures that pull something out of you. Until you look and you don't care, your children are there. You say, oh God, I remember. I should have died that night, but you came my way. Have you ever had an experience in church that made you to lose your composure? Where everybody knew you are a man of stature. You are a man that is measured and cultured. But something hit you. And you bowed down your head. And say, oh God, we thank you. For the revealed word of the hour. We thank you for Malachi. For I don't know where I would be today. But here I am in your presence. I was unworthy. But here I am. Has it ever happened to you? Amen. And the problem, the church has not lost its composure for quite some time.
We are measured, cultured. Oh, when there is a new birth, Brother Bram may say it's messy. There are tears streaming down. You remember that night, you remember your activity, and you say, I could have died being an alcoholic. I was by the side of the road, drunk and down. And my friend was run over by a car. I don't know how I made it. And now you are sitting in church, the mother word goes forth. It touches you and you say, no wonder God, you saved me. If I had died in that year, I was on my way to hell. But here I am, I'm singing Amazing Grace. From a shabin to a church house. What happened? Grace took over. Do I have people that know what I'm talking about? That's why I love the song that says, Missy said no. Has life ever hit you with a tornado? Certain news that were broken to you. And you didn't even have strength to carry your weight. You had to sit down. And take those news sitting down. Because it was heavy. And right there, it looked like your world was crumbling. It looked like you were finished. But the Spirit of God began to move. I'm aware. There are people sometimes they come to church saying, it's my last day. There's one that was here the other time, a young man that had a suicidal spirit and said, I'm coming here, church, for the last time. When I'm done with church, I'm taking my life. But when the Spirit of God began to move, it broke that spell of suicide. And he came and said, Pastor, these were my thoughts, but now I'm a changed man. Sometimes the service that we have is not for ourselves. Somebody needs it more than you do. Somebody may be, their only hope is this Sunday service. And David was there. Discouraged. Things were fine for Saul. He never cared about the message. I care about the message, but look, things go wrong. Some of you are sitting here. You say, before I came to the message, things were going fine. My family and I were happy. My wife was in shorts, I was in shorts, and we had a good time. But ever since we came here, things have gone wrong. Then you were not the enemy of the devil. Now you're the enemy of the devil. That's why things are going wrong. David was there. And he read. And the ark was coming. They began to dance. Praising God. I don't know what song he was singing, but it must have been a jubilant song. And say, finally, God is partnering with us. But before God's presence was restored, there was a threshing floor. Before there was a threshing floor, there was a rejected cart. And the way it came into the camp. Let me read this quotation. In the message, the shark will not be here. The seed will not be here with the shark. Amen. He says, Brother Branham, in the very same message, he says, notice, in the Pentecostal age, through the Lutheran age, through the Wesleyan age, it's been the same thing to the Pentecostal age. Now notice,
But at the opening of the seven seals, Revelation 10, the full weight is to be born into manifestation again and vindicated by the Spirit of God in the full strength. As it was when it was here on earth, manifested in the same way, doing the things that it did when it was here on earth. Hebrews stating Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. St. Luke 17, Jesus said, in the last days, as it was in the days of Sodom, when the Son of Man will be revealing himself again, it will be the same thing. The world is in a Sodom condition. The church has went into Sodom with it like Lot and his wife. And I say that there is an elected church somewhere in this world that's pulled out and set aside from these things. And the manifestation of God has attracted them. And I had much better say, I'm part of this quotation. The manifestation of God has attracted us. When the Brother Branham says, after the seven church ages, after the seven seals, it is a time to worship. Because the word is in its place. The word is restored. God bless you richly, saints. Let's worship him.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There I precious fountain, free to all.
Tell my rest, just so. us one more time.
Buried in the cross. Higher, 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 higher,
while we prepare to wrap up. Savior, Savior.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, yeah.
My soul is longing
for me.
one more time.
Just heal your people.
Heal your people.
Heal the land.
Of your heart.
Amen.
He is more than faithful.
Amen.
I don't know how many witnesses do I have in the
church
that our Lord is more than faithful. Heal your people just with piano only.
Heal your people. Heal the land.
Let the people be healed.
They're still bound. My soul is longing for sweet rest. Heal your people.
Heal your people.
Heal the land.
Sing it one more time.
Heal your people. Heal your
people.
Heal the land.
Heal the land.
Pray. Éternel Dieu des armées, Créateur du ciel et de la terre, toi qui ne changes pas, Seigneur, tu es le même hier, aujourd'hui, éternellement. Tu es Jéhovah Jireh, le pourvoyeur, ô Dieu, et ce matin, tu as pourvu, Seigneur, ta parole pour nous. Nous voici maintenant, Seigneur, ô Dieu tout-puissant, à la clôture du service. Éternel Dieu des armées, ô Jésus, la manière dont tu nous as parlé, Seigneur, nous ramenons, Seigneur, à l'époque de David, ô Dieu Tout-Puissant, avec tout ce qu'il y a eu, Seigneur, ô Jésus. Azur avait une très bonne idée, Seigneur, d'aider l'arc au Yahweh Shiloh qui tombait. Père éternel, tu lui as frappé parce qu'il rendait service à Dieu en dehors de sa volonté. Et aujourd'hui, Seigneur, en ces temps de la fin, tu nous as envoyé Malachi 4, et Seigneur, tu nous as donné, Seigneur, Frère Branham, ô Dieu Tout-Puissant. Et nous voici, Seigneur, ô Dieu Tout-Puissant, se réunissant en ces lieux, ô Dieu. Te demandons, Seigneur, de nous aider par ta grâce afin que nous puissions te servir, ô Dieu, seulement au moment opportun. Merci pour l'opportunité, Seigneur Jésus. Merci pour ta grâce, ô Dieu Tout-Puissant. Je prie, Seigneur, à ce que tu bénisses tout un chacun de nous. Tout celui, Seigneur, qui a pu venir et entrer, Seigneur, dans ce temple, ô Dieu. La parole a été prêchée, divin Seigneur. C'est toi qui bénis ton peuple, mon Seigneur Jésus. C'est toi, Seigneur, qui pardonne, ô Seigneur. Nous venons, Seigneur, ensemble te demander pardon. La Bible déclare, là où deux ou trois se réunissent en mon nom et demandent quelque chose, je la leur donnerai. Et Frère Branham est venu, Seigneur, nous disant, Seigneur, que là où nous nous réunissons, Seigneur, en commun accord, tu es là, Seigneur, pour nous donner les désirs de nos cœurs. C'est la prière pour moi ce matin, divin Jésus. Alors que nous allons sortir, ô Dieu, je prie à ce que tu accompagnes tout un chacun de nous, ô Seigneur. Nous vivons, Seigneur, dans cet âge mauvais, ô Père, mais tu nous as donné ta parole comme notre absolu, afin que où que nous soyons, ô Dieu, que cette parole puisse nous protéger. Quand, Seigneur, Moïse avait des problèmes, tu as pourvu, Seigneur, Goshen. Ils étaient à Goshen, Seigneur, ô Dieu, et n'étaient pas atteints, Seigneur, de quoi que ce soit. Nous nous réunissons, Seigneur, et nous demandons ceci. Avec, Seigneur, un commun accord, nous te demandons, Seigneur, de nous bénir, ô Jésus. Bénis la semaine que nous allons commencer jusqu'à ce que nous allons nous réunir ici en semaine. Pour la gloire du Père, j'ai ainsi demandé avec foi. Au nom puissant de Jésus-Christ. Amen.
Amen. All right, just give us a... They say our God is an awesome God. How many have experienced His awesomeness? He is an awesome God. Amen. Brother Masuma is still in the Eastern Cape, work-related assignment. Amen. He's back on Thursday. Amen.
Our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Gives when I'm in weakness. Forever He will reign.
One more time.
Our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Guide me from the rain. Our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Gives when I'm in weakness. Forever He will reign.
Our God is awesome.
So that they can improve as time goes by.
Yes.
They can only improve based on your input. Amen. And then they don't want to bother the trustees every time we do these things. They just request you to have 5 rand as a donation. Amen. Hallelujah. 5 rand as a donation. Amen. fellowship, fun, and food. Amen. 16. It's time 12 o'clock, but I'm paying it to 1 o'clock. Does it change? Has it changed to 12 o'clock? Yeah. It's 12 o'clock. Okay, believers. Oh, it's cozy. Normally people say it's fine. We like to for them to say it's fine on that day. No, it's fine. Make it 12 o'clock. Amen. Is it 12 o'clock fine? Or 1 o'clock? Those that's 12 o'clock, let them raise their hands. Those that say 1 o'clock, others don't vote. Those that say 12 o'clock, Vazalwani. Those that will say 1 o'clock. So, I guess the 12 o'clock ones are going to say to the 1 o'clock people at 2 that you should have been here at 1. Huh? Let's make it 12:30. I found the middle of the ground. 12:30. Yeah, make it 12:30. Yeah. 12:30. Amen. Will we be on time, folks? Parents, will we be on time? So that they can learn something from us about punctuality. Hallelujah. And I expect that the young people will be very much early so that they can set up so that your presentations can be very proper. Amen. Thanks, Boo, for helping out yesterday as well. Amen. Now, 12:30. Is it fine?
Yes.
Amen. All right. See you on... It's Friday, ne? Okay. Yeah, this Friday. Oh, okay. Okay. Amen. 12:30. Is it fine? Okay. Amen. As you go out, young people must not go to the greeting line. They must remain. Amen. In your seats. God bless you richly. Amen. Till we meet on Friday. Folks, let's, above everything, I'm a firm believer, let's pray for them. Hallelujah. We'd rather have our young people making mistakes before us than out there in the shebeens. Amen. And if we need to support them from the house of the Lord. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Amen. This is the church of tomorrow. Amen. As you see, some of us, we are aging. I was seeing my white hair during the week, and I said, goodness, what is happening? Then it dawned on me that I'm actually passing off the scene. The process has already begun. So let's prepare for the church of tomorrow. It's good to see the Kunis. A round of applause. Amen. This is a good planner. Honeymoon after the service and back from honeymoon before the service. A round of applause for Kumi. Amen. God bless you. See you on Friday. We are looking forward. Some will meet on Wednesday, but above everything, it will be on Friday. Amen. God bless you. I just need an elderly sister, two elderly sisters, that would want to volunteer to say something to the young people on Friday. Volunteers, two that are willing, if they can see me. Hallelujah. Amen. Shall we sing?
Sisters, Saubona.
Saubona, Jesu.
Sia ubi gelela.
All of us now.
sawubona Jesu.
Thank you Lord.
Siya kubi kelela sithi bayete go nyamaye.
Bayete king of
sithi
sawubona Jesu.
Yes.
Siya kubi
kelela.
Tandwa som perfumlo ami baba
usitandwa 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 som perfumlo siti baete gonya maes
usitandwa som perfumlo ami baba
usitandwa 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 som perfumlo siti baete gonya maes
si ti salvona
Jesu si amo mi querida si ti va este gloria maestro
si ti
salvona Jesu si amo mi querida si ti va este gloria maestro
usitando son perfumlo arriba
usitando 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 son perfumlo si ti va este gloria maestro
si ti salvo na te
salvo na Jesu si amo mi querida si ti va este gloria
one more time. Si ti salvona